Okay. Wait, are we recording? Yeah, we're recording.
We're recording, are you sure?
Yes.
Did you double check?
Yes.
Okay.
Why, Nick?
What?
I'm not even surprised you listen to something like this.
See you in hell. I don't give a shit. I'm tugging these nips. Fuck you, Mark.
Can we start now, please?
What?
Can we start the podcast?
Listen, the AI, the swing AI music and the fucking weird shit that they come up with, I'm into it.
You're
rubbing and tugging these fucking nips. Fuck you, Mark. Wait, what?
I can create AI music.
Don't do that.
No, I don't actually.
Oh my God.
It would just be me writing it and saying it was AI.
In case somebody didn't like it. Yep. Is that why?
Yep. Actually, all of my last album was all AI generated.
Yeah.
That's why it sucks so much.
That's why it sucks so much. Yeah.
Intriguing.
I don't even know how to use AI.
I have met more people that have heard of this podcast than I have about you being an artist.
How do you...
What?
That's, I mean, whatever. I don't actually try to like push my
Mark's
music
in that
career.
One band. No,
I was in
podcast,
the Crack
yeah.
for Kids band. We were kind of.
I made up a band for an assignment in high school.
Oh yeah.
And I always wanted. I really stuck with it, especially considering all of the music that we listened to.
I played in punk bands youth. With Micah.
Yeah, that's well. So it was Failed Abortions.
We got kicked.
That was my idea. It was Failed Abortions. Like, who the fuck's that going to offend?
The last band.
You know, it's like,
the last band I was in with
it's
Micah.
It's inappropriate. I know.
We were called Born of Sodomy, and we wrote about serial
Born
killers.
Born of Sodomy. That sounds gay. But like,
it is.
But like, really? I'm not trying to be offensive. It sounds
well, and
a
then my
gay.
Punk band that got, we, you Born know, we were sodomy. Picking up around oh, this area. We started to have shows in Pittsburgh. It was Crack for Kids, but, internal turmoil.
Conflict.
Yeah.
Oh, the good old show days.
Oh, yeah. We got kicked out of, like, a bunch of places.
Like?
I got kicked out of a... Well, it was like a school. But it was, like, a church school.
So, like, a Catholic school.
Yeah, and it was,
school.
Like, for the guys, like, senior project or something. Uh-huh. But we didn't know that it was going to be, like... A church school and like
so a lot of the lyrics to a lot
we
of
all
the
got blacklisted
little...
from it
because
we talk about like police brutality and shit and like
blacklisted
talk shit on the government and like whores in $4 rooms and shit so like you know our music was not appropriate for that.
That makes sense.
Well, and then there was another band we used to play with that was at the same show singing about need more clit in the pit because they're girl punks.
Need more
they
clit.
They literally shut the lights off on them. Like they were like, get the fuck out. Do not ever fucking come back here again. There were some real angry adults.
We need more clit in the pit.
I mean, who doesn't?
Jeez, oh man. I do like watching a couple good mosh pit videos every now and again, yeah. Just to remind
oh, man,
me
I can't handle it now.
Of the good old days of dear Lord, why did I ever
10 seconds in, I'm like, nope, I'm yeah. done. I feel like I'm going to die, but that's not, well, kind of what we're talking about today,
it's,
but
yeah.
Fucking Gypsy in the news again.
This fucking bitch. She keeps just...
Listen, okay, in her defense...
It's a cute tattoo.
She, no, okay, besides the point.
What?
Listen, so
thing.
She's never gotten to be an adult.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
she
yes.
never got to be a teen. She's basically acting out her teenage whatever the
yeah,
fuck
so essentially,
in her
like,
30s.
Yeah, because she didn't get to be a kid. She didn't get to be a teen. She didn't get to be an adult. Like,
so
she was literally
so in,
just
when
confined,
she's in
confined,
prison,
confined, and now
she's
30. She's
talking to this guy who like, watched the documentary, and he's like, I think you're hot. Which is real fucking unhinged to begin with. That's, like, some red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So she got engaged with him, and then she left him and got engaged and married to, I forget what that guy's name is. Ryan something, right? I always call him Peter G. Griffin.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Oh, no, the
Peter
big guy.
Griffin. Peter Griffin. We'll go with Peter Griffin. Yeah.
So then she went with Peter Griffin and got married to him and shit.
Right.
Then she's like, nah, and goes back to the fucking guy that she was originally engaged to.
Ken is the guy that she was originally engaged to.
And then they get tattoos together and like, bro.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
It's wild shit.
So why?
And they're claiming it's because she's going through things with Ryan.
Peter Griffin didn't have
Ken's
a big dick.
So like there for her.
So she's easily manipulated as well as being a really big manipulator.
And there's an update.
Oh,
apparently she is getting cosmetic surgery as of 8 hours ago.
She's gonna get her nose fixed, isn't she?
Oh no!
A change to her appearance.
Do you it's think gonna it'll... be her nose because she got that weird fucking brick nose.
Yep, rhinoplasty to change the shape and appearance of her nose.
So, like, how long?
Which must suck for her dad because I'm pretty sure that's her dad's nose.
How long do you think it'll be until we see a porno?
Oh my god.
I'm what just thinking. I'm being realistic about it. I'm just being realistic about it.
Well, she was naughty. It. We know she was naughty.
Remember the Farrah Abraham thing? The
what?
The girl from Teen Mom.
Oh.
And she got she got fat paycheck from I don't know. I think
they were trying
Rose
to get Casey
close.
Anthony. To
yeah,
do, but she wouldn't.
I think that she'd be hard to work with. Mm-hmm. I've been on movie sets once, and
I can definitely... Oh, shit. It was scheduled for today.
What?
She went under the knife today.
Shit. Oh, as of recording.
Nose. Mm-hmm. So, April 5th,
so by the time
Lafayette.
This goes up, Gypsy Rose will have had a new nose.
Yep.
Good for her.
I
think it's just about
it.
About time for we see the porno. I hope it's better than the Farrah Abraham one. That was stupid.
Oh.
That was like... porn you'd play in the background of a movie just because we needed it for this one scene. It was so badly done.
So anyways, why do you think her and Peter Griffin were fighting?
So I mean, I told you why in the last episode, the stuff that she was contacting, what's his name? But honestly, I think it's just general, like they didn't know each other at all. And then all of a sudden
neither
she's released
she
and there's
Ken.
All this...
Also, if you're
that.
Picking up your boyfriends because they saw a documentary about you getting your mother killed, that is a big fucking red flag. Don't do it.
Okay.
Why?
Ken was actually a pen pal through the pen pal prison program. So he knew that, but he didn't see the documentary at that time. And they had a lot of more correspondence before they were engaged.
Okay. Well, let me reiterate. And if you find your partner...
Through jail
in any fucking way, that is a huge fucking red flag. And guess what? Nobody's going to be surprised when it goes fucking sideways.
I want to tell you right now, there are 14 offended as fuck women right now.
Just 14?
But only like 6 of them are probably overweight. So like, that's all right, I guess.
My Darren,
they're sucking their teeth.
He killed his girlfriend, but he loves me.
They're talking about somebody who's clearly a red flag.
Dude, you see that shit? They have ads for fucking shit on TikTok now.
No, and then like the
number 57611. He's like, hey girl, like what the fuck?
And how about like the dudes that are in there for like sexual assaults or like domestic violence, like beating and like raping women, and their new wives or girlfriends are like, he would never. He was framed.
He was
she
different.
Just regretted
he's different.
It the next day.
Right. Like, that joke of
he's a changed man.
Two guys talk in prison. He's like, what are you in for? I'm an innocent man. Everybody's innocent in here. Like, no, bitch. Like, she, like, there's cold evidence. There's pictures of him covered in the chick's blood. Like, you can Google all this stuff.
He admitted it 3 times,
you know what?
But they threw it out.
There was this dude that murdered a bunch of women, and his girlfriend was staying in the house that he did all the murders in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was this like video I watched about it, and like it was interesting how the guy got caught. I think that's what got me watching the video in the first place. So note that there's that's at least interesting about it. But his girlfriend stayed in the house, and they kept asking her shit like, why do you stay here? You know that there was like someone slaughtered right fucking here, like to pieces, and then thrown into the back of a Datsun and fucking taken out into a field. And then she goes, I have nowhere else to go. And she's like straight up, like you can tell, because obviously we're broke as fuck too.
Yeah. We've met plenty of people. Because she couldn't sell the house, she couldn't afford to move, sell the house. Right?
But guess what was in the backyard, Mark?
Bodies.
The fucking car that he put the bodies in.
Because she couldn't sell that either.
She couldn't sell it either. Nobody fucking wants it. Since it's,
I'm like,
listen, these days, though, and like, there's a bunch of people who'd be like, ah. Because, you know, the people who are like crazy about true crime.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They want a piece of it.
I've seen some cool houses come up on the market where they're like, oh, wait, what was it? I saw the meme when Jeffrey Dahmer's home went up for sale. And they were like, but who the fuck wants to live in Ohio? I was like, I can think of like
Ohio
three people.
Ohio is cheap. Way cheaper than here. Just saying.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, this is Mark.
And this is Nick.
And I'm Z.
And this is the Guns and Gory podcast. Gypsy, seriously, like, just fucking chill. Oh.
Shut the fuck up!
Yeah, did you know the eclipse? Is supposed to be the beginning of the apocalypse,
like this one specifically, yes.
The return of the Anunnaki, the beginning of the end.
Because the eclipse that happened a few years ago, and this one form an X,
but that one happened
on the United States.
Wow, just on the United States, not the world.
Yes,
that's so.
And there are six. Six cities in the last path called Salem, and Salem means something. And then there are like five
people will draw
in the next path.
Any
that
fucking
have
conclusion
stuff like Jonah, and I don't know. I'm like, what the fuck? TikTok, I just need to stay the fuck away from that shit. They just come up with the silliest shit. It seems like half of TikTok is like flat earthers, which I'm sorry, but if you think the earth's flat, don't.
Especially
to
this
us.
Day and age, like fly in an airplane, my man.
Bro. No, you can listen to us, but just please don't reproduce. Please.
Yeah, like
Mark, we're gonna correct you right now.
Okay.
They can listen to the podcast. They might not like a lot of our content, which is fine. But if you like it, stick around.
We're gonna do one where we talk shit on flat earth.
I don't want to get into the science behind that.
It's not
so boring.
The science doesn't make sense.
No, but using the science, like the real tactile shit, to disprove. Them is
that's
like
not what we're talking about.
I know. Oh, I know.
We're talking about,
I know what you're talking about.
Talking about metal.
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 Black metal.
From the 90s specifically?
Norwegian black
metal. Norwegian.
No, it was in the
why
80s.
Norwegian?
It started in the 80s. That's
why.
Why
not Swedish?
I mean, there is Swedish black metal, I'm sure, but it started in Norway.
It actually didn't. They started
black
at the same
metal?
Time. Sort of finish.
Okay, whatever.
But we're talking
early
about
black
the Norwegian
metal
one specifically.
Oh, I'm sorry. They have a big rivalry against
we
each
are
other.
Like, we are trying to drive this canoe in a direction.
Like, I mean,
and she's just crashing
you
this
guys
bitch.
Have heard
and I
black
admire
metal, right? Like Cradlefield, Demi Borgir, fucking Mayhem.
Aqua.
Yeah. The music's like. It's like, I suck Satan's cock! Like, it's all about Satan. They got the lows, they got the highs, and then the music's just generic, shitty chords.
Very bad microphone.
And, like, a certain kind of sounds creepy.
They probably don't
like
know
a,
how to play the guitar that
like
well.
A certain ambiance or whatever. It's actually very reminiscent of punk, but punk is better.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. I mean, you can.
I mean, I'm talking about at least with Mayhem, which is who we're talking about tonight.
Mayhem.
Their music. Oh. That's what I got from it.
Get it
personally. Get it. I never was a real big fan of them.
Willamette name, pretty good. Mayhem is a good, Mayhem, decent name. That is a good name for a metal band. Yeah. Like I give you credit, but I wish you would enunciate your words a little better so we could hear them.
Oh yeah. Well, apparently Z has a thing about
Euronymous
people not enunciating
their words. I always thought Euronymous was a really good nickname for your penis.
Well, we're not there yet. So,
like, if I could rename mine, next time around, I'm gonna rename mine Euronymous.
Well, his name was actually Oystein Arseth.
I feel like Oystein would
and
be
he was
one.
Initially known as Destructor, and then later he was named as Euronymous. It was founded in 1984 by him.
Damn. That's a long fucking time.
Yeah, Jorn Stubberud, who went by Necro Butcher, and drummer Jatil Mannheim. And they took their name from the Venom song Mayhem with Mercy. Venom's like an old school, like death, not death metal, just like a heavy metal band. Like, I mean, it was, they were better than Mayhem, to be totally honest. The band members were mainly influenced by groups such as Venom, Death, Creator, Motorhead. I know you guys have heard of Motorhead. Necrodeath, Black Sabbath, Slayer, and then like a whole bunch of bands that, I mean, even some of them I've never fucking heard of.
And right.
I like deep dive on every genre I can think of. They started playing cover songs by Black Sabbath, Venom, and Motorhead, and later recorded the demo Pure Fucking Armageddon. So, I think before that, Euronymous was in a, like a thrash type metal band called Morbid, I believe, but I'm not sure. Thrash was interesting. That's like early Slayers, like Slash, Thrash, early Metallica.
Oh, Euronymous is the spirit of the underworld.
Yes.
According to Ovid.
So just got deeper and deeper into the darkness, didn't he? Yes. Is that why it's black metal?
So pretty much like the Norwegian
There's just no light.
Right? Essentially, well, right?
It's just so black.
They recorded the first EP, Death Crush, in 1987 and released it through Euronymous's newly formed label, Poser Corpse Music.
He had more than one label.
Yes, but that was his first one, I guess. The 1,000 copy release of Death Crush sold out real quick. Then two members, the drummer and the singer, left the band in 1988. After a couple members came and went, Swedish vocalist Pelle Yangvi Olin dead. And local drummer Jan Axel Blomberg joined the band.
Blomberg.
With Dead, the band's concerts became notorious.
Notorious.
For concerts, Dead went to great lengths to achieve the image and atmosphere he wished.
What'd he do?
He wore corpse paint, which is like, you know, you've seen metal. They wear the white. They have the white paint and the black around their eyes.
The kiss makeup.
Like kiss makeup, but looks by a Dead. Little cooler.
That was started by Dead. I mean, so Alice Cooper and stuff like that, like, kind of did stuff like that before.
Yeah.
But that wasn't, he didn't do it like that.
Not, yeah, it is a different. It was. There is differences to it, yeah.
He would. Let's see. According to Necro Butcher, it wasn't anything to do with the way Kiss or Alice Cooper used makeup. Dead wanted to look like a corpse. He didn't do it to look cool. Hellhammer claimed that Dead was the first black metal musician to use corpse paint. To complete his corpse-like image, Dead would bury his stage clothes and dig them up again to wear on the night of a concert. While performing, Dead would often cut himself with hunting knives and broken glass. And the band had pig or sheep heads impaled on stakes and planted on the stage. Like, this dude, like, I mean, there's bands that cut themselves. Gigi did it.
Yeah.
But, like, this dude would, like, cut himself, like, real fucking deep. Yeah. Like, it would go, it honestly reminded me of when I cut my arm open. Like, you just, it was, like, he would, like, have to go to the hospital. His arms would regularly be wrapped in tape because he cut too hard and he needed to keep himself from bleeding to death.
Wild shit, man. Yeah.
People, so, let's talk about dead for a minute. Per Yangvi Olin, sometimes called Pele, was born on January 16th, 1969 in Västerhaninge, Stockholm, County, Sweden. I know I just butchered
You did that. Pretty good. I'm actually slightly impressed. I was waiting.
As a young child, Olin suffered from sleep apnea. At the age of 10, he suffered internal bleeding when his spleen ruptured after what he claimed was an ice skating accident. However, in the Swedish metal book Blood Eldod, Blood, Fire, Death, his brother Anders stated in an exclusive interview that Dead was frequently bullied in school and one day sustained a ruptured spleen as a direct result of a severe beating by bullies. Because of the injury, Olin had to be rushed to a hospital where he was declared clinically dead. After a few years, the incident resulted in a fascination with death and later inspired his stage name. As a teenager, Olin developed a taste for heavy metal and rock music, citing bands like Black Sabbath, Kiss, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, AC/DC, Motorhead, Venom, Metallica, Bathory, Sodom, and Merciful Fate as his favorites. He was a real weird guy. Like,
it started off good.
He was just a broken boy that clearly had lack of oxygen to the brain. God damn it.
Hellhammer described Dead as a very strange personality, depressed, melancholic, and dark. Euronymous once said, "I honestly think Dead is mentally insane. Which other way can you describe a guy who does not eat in order to get starving wounds, or who has a t-shirt with funeral announcements on it?" Some authors have speculated that Dead may have Cotard syndrome, a very rare condition that manifests in believing one's body is not that of a living human, but instead a corpse. So, like,
exacerbated by the fact that he was probably clinically dead for too long.
Dude, like, he thought he was dead, but not in like a fucking creepy weirdo way. Well, I guess it was in a creepy weirdo way, but
I think he was just broken from lack of oxygen and other stuff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah, he probably had like brain damage because of it or something.
I mean, like, so, let alone being bullied, he was to have a spleen rupture, like, he absolutely had trauma.
We 100%. We didn't mention yet that the movie Lords of Chaos.
Yes.
Is based off of. So, yeah, go ahead.
The movie Lords of Chaos is a biopic of these guys. So, like, that some of it's fictionalized, but like most of it is, it's pretty accurate. It's more mostly like the personalities that are kind of fictionalized a little bit,
right? And like, but obviously, a lot of the what words were said when
a lot of stuff that happened in the movie like actually happened. That's actually after a book called Lords of Chaos, which is about the Norway black metal scene. More, I actually listened to a lot of it, but it kind of made me. A lot of these people were like real pretentious. They thought they were better than everybody else.
Spoiled brats.
Yeah. They'd call like people posers. They thought American death metal, like, I don't know, like Cannibal Corpse. They thought they were pussies because they would like live relatively normal lives.
Was Cannibal Corpse around back then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
80s, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, man. Slayer, Cannibal Corpse. Like, yeah. Punk had already happened. The first wave of punk had already happened. That's what, like, so, the 80s, late 80s.
Well, so the movie, we were watching it, and I'm just like, this is fucking going on in 92? Like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, when I was 3 years old, like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, what was going on in my life? Like, what was going on in the world? Like, no internet, shit like that.
So,
like,
my first memory of the date is writing it in January of 1990 in kindergarten. And in 1990, the members of Mayhem moved to an old house in the forest near Oslo, which was used as a place for the band to rehearse. They began writing songs for their next album, De Mysteriis Dom Satanas. Mayhem bassist Necro Butcher said that after living together for a while, Dead and Euronymous got on each other's nerves a lot and weren't really friends at the end. Hellhammer recalls that Dead once went outside to sleep in the woods because Euronymous was playing synth music that Death hated. Dead hated technology. Like, so, like, you know, synths and stuff like that. He's, fuck this shit and fucking go out in the woods. He liked being out in nature and shit.
Yeah.
He then, so he left because of the synth music, and then Euronymous went outside and began shooting into the air with a shotgun.
Ashwinwood, that makes sense. In Norway. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a cultural thing.
He also supposedly stabbed Euronymous with a knife once.
So
Euronymous would like encourage him to kill himself.
Yeah.
They weren't, according to a couple of the band members, they weren't like friends towards mm-hmm. the end. They would always fight, get on each other's mm-hmm. nerves. They were the only two that lived in that house.
Yes.
The most. So they mm-hmm. lived together, and they both probably had habits that just
yeah. Euronymous like would be like, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. You're so depressed. Why don't you can just do mm-hmm. it? Like,
this is your option. Go ahead. Do it. Yeah. Just do it. Just do it. Just kill yourself. Mm-hmm. So the altercation though is only reported by what's his name, right? Is that right?
Varg?
It's only
when he stabbed him?
Yeah. Where Dead stabbed Euro. Yeah, that's that, only Varg, claimed by one person.
Varg,
correct?
Yes, Varg Vikernes, which we will get to, is the one who said that. So that could be bullshit or not.
Yeah.
But they didn't get along great.
Yeah, but the relationship could totally happen.
But they, you know, they were in a band together and blah blah blah. Like honestly, like when you're living with somebody, like I've like been in, around bandmates for like a while, and like you start to fight, it happens. Like, but
I figured they never got a break from each other, living together, mm-hmm. being in a band together, probably partying together.
Yeah, I don't think they partied a whole lot.
I dated this girl that had a roommate, and he said something snarky to her once, and she threw a empty Magpul P-Mag right at his mouth, clipped him right in the lip, and it was funny as shit because he fucking deserved it, but like not quite that bad. And it was just, I don't know, it was funny, it was interesting.
Oh. On the 8th of April 1991, Dead committed suicide in the house rented by the band.
Wow. And then Smigad, come in there, fucking clean it up. Like, wait, what?
Just shut the fuck up. Sorry. He was found by Euronymous with slit wrists and a shotgun wound to the head. Dead's suicide note started with the sentence, "Excuse all the blood," and included a brief explanation. "Nobody will ever understand this. Not as a sort of explanation. I am not human. This is only a dream, and soon I will be awake." The full text has become public, and it ended by saying, "I didn't come up with this now, but 17 years ago." I actually didn't look up the note. I could have, I guess.
I did. I read it to Nick. Because there's finally a translation. It wasn't translated for a really long time.
Attached to the note, Dead left the lyrics of the song Life Eternal. When Euronymous found all of this, he went to a nearby store, bought a disposable camera, and took pictures after arranging some items.
This, before I had watched the movie, mm-hmm. I had heard of this, like mm-hmm. this situation from here forward.
Necro Butcher recalls how Euronymous told him of the suicide. "Oystein called me up the next day and says, Dead has done something really cool. He killed himself. I thought, have you lost it? What do you mean cool? He says, relax, I have photos of everything. I was in shock and grief. He was just thinking about how to exploit it. So I told him, okay, don't even fucking call me before you destroy those pictures." Which he never did. Destroying the pictures. Euronymous used Dead's suicide to foster Mayhem's evil image and claimed Dead had killed himself because black metal had become trendy and commercialized. In time, rumors spread that Euronymous had made stew with the bits of Dead's brain and had made necklaces with the bits of his skull. The band later denied the stew rumor, but confirmed that the bone necklaces was true. He also gave a few of those necklaces to musicians he deemed worthy, which was confirmed by other members in this scene. In 2018, a fragment of dead skull also went on sale for $3,500 American, along with a letter from Euronymous that it was posted with. The letter finishes with, "Okay, that should be all. I'm enclosing a little piece from Dead's cranium in case you'd like to have it. Hear from you soon."
I don't think the bone part. It's all that bad. Yeah.
I mean, it's
old school. It's old school because we. So they had to clean up
the body themselves,
right?
Like, well, you know, the body was taken away, but they had to clean up the scene themselves. So, like,
other pieces, they probably found them.
They could have easily found them. There were fragments still in the house. So, like, it's not like he went and, like, smashed the skull and
up more to take more pieces or anything.
When they were cleaning it, they found these fragments. Right. So, like, would if your friend killed himself, would you, and you found his bone fragments, would you keep them?
No, yeah.
Well, because what else are you going to do with it? You don't have a fire that could burn them to cremate them and be ashes.
Right.
Call the police and be like, hey.
I found more of him. You want to come get it? Because they'd be like, no, just toss it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't throw it in the garbage.
The only thing that's suspect is because of the rumor of how the relationship was.
Yeah.
It's like, was he malicious and took it off his body? Or was it truly just them finding it afterwards?
Well, there were rumors that supposedly Euronymous killed Dead, but that's
doubtful. 100% doubtful. The way he died, he was depressed.
Well, he wasn't really depressed. People knew him to be pretty, like, he had a weird sense of humor and stuff, but he wasn't, like, he didn't seem depressed, but he was, like, depressed a lot.
And like, people said he had depression, but the biggest thing they said was he was dark.
Mm-hmm.
They never really said, like, he was depressed.
But
he actually thought he was dead.
Was, like,
yeah. But I liked how everyone was like, he was just very dark.
Yeah. So let's get a little more in depth.
Another thing is how it was. I know you're going to talk about it a little bit, but how it was used for an album cover, that picture.
Oh, I wasn't going to.
Yeah, you were going to bring that up? Yeah. Yes. So you can Google it.
I don't know why I wasn't going to bring that up.
But the photograph, the ready cam photograph of the guy that killed himself dead, he is actually used on their first album?
No, it was a bootleg that they released of a live concert.
I forget what it's called. Well, so
it wasn't the Dawn of the Black Hearts.
Right. Yeah, so you get to see the real thing anyway.
So like a lot of bands will like record their shows and it's not good enough to be considered an album or released.
Right.
But they released it cuz they thought it sounded good enough. One of the other band members didn't like it enough to be released as an album, though. But so they released it as like a bootleg, but it was like a they made it
like official.
It wasn't like somebody in the crowd with a cassette recorder. It was like the band recorded it.
So we should make our own bootleg.
Yeah, we could.
Guns and Glory shit. That's okay. All right.
I have bootlegs of some of my old shows, technically.
There you go. Well, so but the other thing is in the movie, the shotgun and the knife get moved where they are. Mm-hmm. And then in the picture, you can like kind of tell. You're like, yeah, those got moved around wherever they ended up.
Oh, whatever happened. Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. Ugh.
So let's talk a little more about Euronymous. Me and him actually have the same birthday, March 22nd. But his was in like
60-something versus.
But I was like, what the fuck? So that was weird.
Well, technically, he could be your dad because he's 20 years older,
yeah,
right?
But he's not. Yeah. So honestly, he was a pompous, elitist asshole.
Yeah.
He didn't think what he deemed as posers should listen to his music. He called people posers all the time. He was like super judgmental.
He was a rich, spoiled brat.
Uh huh. Yes. Yeah. His family, like, they had some money, like. He had a record store
that was paid for by his parents.
Yeah, paid for by his parents, and he had the recording. He didn't have a studio, but
he recorded in studios, and he only paid, I think, a part of the fees or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had his own record company. That's it. And he claimed to be the head of a black metal inner circle. Of elitist, you know, black metal people.
The special black metal people.
That sounds very interesting.
So he was an edgelord and would always talk about how extreme he was and how death metal bands were pussies, which I already kind of said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything else you guys can think about him? Like,
he just makes me so mad. He was a spoiled little brat, okay? Like, he was just a spoiled little brat, and he acted that way.
Very pretentious.
He just tried to be this dark thing because it was edgy and blah, blah, blah.
But
and
he it's didn't like, actually, like...
Bitch, you need to grow up, man.
Dead Suicide and Euronymous's actions following it affected Necro Butcher so much that he left Mayhem, thinning the band's ranks down to 2. The group rehearsed for a short time thereafter with Occultus joining the band with plans to begin recording vocal and bass tracks for Mayhem's debut album, De Mysteriis Dom Satanas. However, this was short-lived. He left the band after receiving a death threat from Euronymous.
Was that the mysterious thumb in Uranus? Is that what that mean translates into?
What?
The name of the album.
Sure.
Mysterious Thumb in Uranus.
In late 1992, the recording of Mayhem's upcoming album resumed. Thus, Euronymous engaged 3 more session musicians. Burzum's Varg Vikernes, stage name Count Grishnak, Thorn's Snore, W. Roosh, Blackthorn, who handled bass guitar and rhythm guitar respectively, and singer Attila Szhar, of Hungarian black metal band Tormentor. Due to complaints by his parents, Euronymous closed his Scene Focal Point record shop, Helvete, claiming as reasons adverse media and police attention. Much of the album was recorded during the first half of 1993 at the Greig Hall in Bergen. To coincide with the release of the album, Euronymous and Vikernes had conspired to blow up Nidaros Cathedral, which appears on the album cover. Euronymous's murder in August 1993 put an end to this plan, though, and delayed the album's release. Now let's hear from Varg Vikernes.
You like to work out?
Fuck yeah, I like to work out.
I love working out.
Fuck yeah.
You like having a lot of protein?
Lots of it.
You gotta have protein.
Oh.
Well, I use Justin's Jack Juice Slurpees.
Jesus.
It promotes muscle growth. It has HGH.
HGH.
Has lots of vitamin D and raw protein. You're probably asking me, how is this legal? Not FDA approved.
Not FDA.
It can even repair relationships and skin. You'll look like you're a 3-year-old.
That smooth,
luscious skin.
Yep.
Justin's Jack Jizz Slurpees. You can find them in Walmart.
Amazon.
And on eBay. Check it out.
Check it out.
The year is 1993.
So if we ever get a copyright strike, it'll be because of
this. One
day,
black metal becomes world famous.
I didn't think that this was in English.
Let's find out.
It is.
Oh, it's got production value and shit to it.
During the year 1992, Euronymous was running his shop into the ditch. He was supposed to have a record company and his shop and run it, but he was a terrible businessman. And when he released my debut album, the Burzum debut album, he had to ask me for the money to afford it. And when he sold out all his all the copies, and he did quite fast, I think it was printed in 1,000, maybe 500 even. 500 CDs and 500 LPs. Anyway, when he had sold everything out, he didn't have the money to print more. So, months went by, and as a musician, to me that was rather frustrating. So I visited his shop quite often to, you know, try to help him run his business. I mean, he was so incompetent, he didn't even manage to go to the post office. And
you can tell he's not real fond of him still.
Packages mm-hmm. with albums.
This was like a few years ago.
To sell his shop because, you know, he didn't have a car.
And he can't talk back.
The gods forbid, you know, taking the bus sure. or walking would be too hard, I guess. So I visited him and I drove him to the post office. I tried everything I could to help him. And eventually I kind of gave up. So I wanted to start my own record company and just release my music myself. He didn't like it very much. And in conversation I had with him on the phone, he told me that he wanted me to do something to, help his business. And I told him that I could arrange an interview with some guys I knew, and he didn't want to do it himself, but he was very eager to have me do it. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just do it anonymous and talk about his shop and it would help his business because he didn't have enough customers. So I did. Talked with a Christian journalist in Bergens Tidende, a newspaper in Norway. And the guy was a complete nutcase. I didn't know at the time, of course. He was Christian. And his intent was, of course, to prove the existence of Satanists in Norway. And I was 19 years old, and I had this fuck you attitude. So I didn't give a shit, and I just exaggerated and had fun with him, really. And connected it all, of course, to black metal and his shop in Oslo. Helvete. And the journalist left. He wanted to check my claims with the police and so forth, because all of this was linked to church burnings and everything. And of course, my idea was that if the cops came and wanted to ask me about the church burnings, all I could do was to say that, hey, I talked to the journalist to mock him. I pulled his leg. I haven't done anything.
We have to
Nobody
talk
I know
about
done
this
anything.
Part.
Bye-bye.
After.
That would be it. Which, of course, is true. Had people in the scene had a brain.
It's like he's downplaying
but anyway,
his involvement.
He called the police.
Yeah.
And
but we'll get
he was supposed to call me and run the story through the phone. Tell me the story through the phone, and I would be able to confirm it or not. And he called me, and I said, well, that's not what I told you. He was completely out of his mind. And that's not the story. You know, that's bullshit. You didn't even mention the shop in Oslo. That was the whole point, after all. And he said, okay, I'll change the story and I'll call you later. And then 10 minutes later, the cops came at my door. He had called the cops. And they arrested me. Instead of questioning me, like, do you know anything about this? And I would say no. They arrested me. Okay. And then he ran his story. Not the story, the real story, but the story he had produced, based on what I had talked to him about. Another cops asked me, did you give an interview to this or that guy yesterday? And I said yes. And then the newspaper wrote that I had confirmed the story. Not that I had confirmed that I had talked to him, but I had confirmed his story. Then the police sent me to jail, custody, where I was not allowed to talk to anybody. So the journalist, for 3 weeks, three whole weeks, he was allowed to push his agenda without anyone questioning it, because nobody were able to. The only person able to was me, and I was in prison, not allowed to talk. So the whole story was just complete bullshit. And but the good thing is, of course, that eventually the story about also the Euronymous shop came up. And then, amazingly, which is so incredibly idiotic, he closed his shop because the attention was too uncomfortable for his family. And so I sat weeks.
You're allowed to give your opinion while he's talking.
For nothing.
It's because his dad stopped paying for the shop. That's why he closed,
his shop. Rather than use this opportunity, which was the whole purpose to begin
there
with.
There wasn't any profit.
And he was in on it. He had asked me to do it.
After this, we'll talk.
He closed his shop because his parents thought it was too uncomfortable for his family. You know, the attention wasn't comfortable. And during my incarceration, they took all my clothes, of course, and I was supposed to go to court and argue to get out. And the police, this is, I talk about this because I always have this comments from people who say that, yeah, you wore Venom t-shirts, you were a Venom fan. I never was.
He's like, fact is that
I sold Venom t-shirts
being known as a Venom
to, you know, to make a living. And I had a whole box of Venom shirts and some other shirts
because he's also elitist.
And the police went to my apartment to get some clothes for me because they had taken everything I had. And off the clothes they took and brought to me were some of these Venom shirts. There were some other idiotic death metal bands, but
why would they do that? The cops, they don't give a shit.
Had black metal on it, and it was the image on Orsett's shop. You know, the front door had this very image. So, of course, I thought, yes, I'm going to
You're allowed
wear
to rant after.
You know, to promote the shop.
More
because
about
at
three
the time,
quarters
I didn't
of the
know
way
that
through.
He had wimped out completely, pussied out like complete chicken, and closed his shop. So, I didn't know that.
Pussied out.
So, like, I took this t-shirt on, not because I liked Venom. I hated Venom. I never liked Venom. I still think
he does. He sounds like a little middle school kid talking about his favorite band.
That Orsett had on his front door.
Never liked them.
In court, I explained to the judge what happened.
Death metal was
that I had just pulled the journalist's leg.
Euronymous was the same.
And that
Euronymous.
There was no problem really. I had nothing to do with any of these. Church fires, and of course he had a brain. He reasoned, so he thought, said that, okay, that makes sense. Bye bye, you can go. And that was it.
Dirty Euronymous.
The whole case just crumbled. Bam. There was no evidence. It was just bullshit. Of course, the guys in the scene who had burned churches, including Euronymous.
In the
they
scene,
were really scared. But
yeah,
of course,
the people
no
that
reason.
He encouraged.
Yeah,
scared?
It's like
if you burn a church, how are they going to prove it? So they were some of them were questioned by the police, but of course, nothing happened. Nobody were persecuted. Nothing. Everybody could just go home. No, they weren't. No, nobody were even arrested except me. So that was it. Nothing happened. This was not the reason why anybody were arrested. And Euronymous lost so much face because he's supposed to be this cool, hard, black metaler. And he crumbled to pressure from his parents and closed his shop when this happened. Everybody in the scene were just laughing at him because, you know, what a fucking loser.
And, what a loser.
This is one of the reasons why Euronymous started to really, really hate me. The first reason was that I started my own record company. The second reason is that everybody started to laugh at him because of this case. And rightfully so. The third reason was that in the aftermath of this, when I was released from prison, everybody wanted to talk to me and not to him. And previously, he had been this big, important figure in the black metal scene. But now, all of a sudden, they called him to talk to me. They wanted to talk to me. To me, this was... I wasn't interested in attention. The whole interview was made anonymous. And when they exposed me with my real name, I thought that this was uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
Ooh.
But he wanted to be this black metal, famous black metal person. So when they wanted to talk to me instead of him, it was a... he was very jealous.
Jealous. And, jealous.
This was the third reason that he started to really, really hate me.
Oh,
the fourth reason is, of course, political differences. But that's really not that important in this context. The real reasons were I started a company of my own because he was useless. And I exposed him as a complete pussy by giving that interview. Or rather, he exposed himself. Or my actions led to him exposing himself. And thirdly, the journalists wanted to talk to me, not him. He was an attention whore. He wanted all the attention, and he didn't get it. I did. So, all in all, this was the incident, the one single incident that made black metal world famous. Kind of strange, isn't it? I have much more to say about this, but I'll do that in my next video. Bye-bye.
We're not going to hear the next video, though. Okay, Z, I know you're ready to go after hearing that, so let her rip.
Listen. Okay, so first of all, it's Norway, so like struggling to get the police records over here. But they weren't just fucking arrested for no fucking reason. So like this dude... burn down churches. Like, he's like, oh, it was thrown out because they didn't have anything. That's bullshit. It was initially tossed.
Him and so a few people hit that little inner circle. Mm-hmm. The inner circle.
They let them go. Essentially, in America, it'd be letting them go on bond. But in Norway, it's a little bit different. Okay? Because it's not a dictatorship. They have a king.
Oh, no.
Fuck with that. A monarchy. Thank you. Monarchy. So it's a monarchy. So their law system's just a smidge motherfucking different. Okay? So they let them go because they were building a case. They did have evidence. Dumb motherfucker. Okay? How are they going to have evidence when you burn a church down? Dude, there's plenty. Learn your fucking science, dumbass. And then second off. All right? Second off. Okay? Like.
Now we're on to? Okay.
Come on, Nick,
this
let her go.
Motherfucker. All right. He's just such a cunt. He's a stupid fucking spoiled brat that needed his head fucking bashed in when he was in fucking high school because he's so fucking stupid. Like, I hate this guy so much with a passion. Like, I fucking hate this dude. I can't express it enough.
Dead got the childhood that this guy deserved.
Fucking talking. No fucking kidding. Like, Dead was just some poor, innocent fucking soul that got fucked up, was already mentally issued, okay, on top of that. Like, he was just a broken little boy that got a happy fucking ending in his own book because he was so miserable his whole life, all right? So, like, him committing suicide, like, it hurts my heart as a fucking mom. But, like, thinking about it as somebody that's broken and, like, has been hurt before, I'm like, I get it. He felt that peace. He got it. He got what he wanted. Okay, fine. Hopefully he's happy. Probably not. Depends on religion,
dude,
whatever.
But this
fucking dude is just a selfish little brat. Like,
so wait, I have a question. Do you hate Euronymous or Varg more?
I hate Varg more. Euronymous is just some rich fucking kid that was just doing whatever because he wanted to fuck off and do whatever because his parents didn't fucking teach him how to be a person.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was good at, like,
he was all talk.
On some
he was all talk.
All talk.
He was all
Euronymous
talk.
Was all
Whereas
talk.
Varg is fucking manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
He is malicious. He is a cruel individual.
He grew up, his dad was his dad was doing something for, was it Bin Laden? No. What? Oh man, hold on a second. Now I gotta.
So his dad was like high up in some sort of like foreign government of some kind, like worked for them or like.
Hold on.
So while he's looking at that, I learned. You know the Denzel movie where he walks up to the dude and shoots him in the forehead in broad daylight?
Yeah.
Okay. That's based off the true story. Mm-hmm. So that guy that Denzel was playing, the real guy, Diddy, The reason he's so fucked up and does all the crazy shit he's been doing, his dad was friends with that guy. Like, that makes a lot in of the sense. Movie when there's a bunch of little kids in the neighborhood.
That was one of them
might have been Diddy.
Oh, God.
That makes
you
sense.
Never know.
So he and his family moved to Iraq when he was 6 years old because his father was an electronics engineer developing a computer program for Saddam Hussein.
That's why.
He was the only white kid in the school.
Blonde kid, because remember, he is originally
he's
blonde.
Norwegian. So, like, he I don't think he had a great school.
He was a real elitist.
Like, he would, like, favor white people and stuff like that. Like, he was real elitist. I mean,
truly,
all of them were pretty elitist, but...
Yeah. No, and, like,
it's something the about
movie,
that part of the world.
So, yeah, and it's strange because, like, in the movie, they're like, oh, he portrayed Nazi shit. And I'm like, I don't think that was dramatized.
I don't think he was a Nazi, though.
I don't think he portrayed the swastika or was vegan or didn't eat meat because Hitler didn't eat meat. Mm-hmm. Like, but he had the same mindset. Like 100%. But he's the type of person that would never fucking admit that him and Hitler had the same mindset. He like, no. Hitler was like a poser, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, but he had the same fucking mindset because like, not only like burning Christian churches, like they tried to burn mosques.
Well,
they tried to burn other things.
Supposedly Varg got tired of hearing Euronymous talk shit and act like he's this big tough
and
guy
he has
that
to
never
be better
did
than
anybody.
Euronymous about everything.
So he was like, whatever, fuck this shit, and started setting fucking churches on fire. And he did like a couple, and then Euronymous actually was there with one of them.
Like confirmed.
That's when
with
they like got
yeah.
caught, right?
Yeah. So like, and then there were a bunch of attempted ones, which is like,
but
so for them to be listed, they either had to have confessed or there was evidence proving that they
all,
were there.
During that time, there were like 40 something church burnings.
Yeah, which wasn't all them.
There's
that was
deal.
Some of their followers.
Yes, they had. Like, they did have a big following. Like black metal was huge over there. Like they were like
burning
huge
over
there.
Yeah, because they heard because the myth or whatever of. Varg burning the one church or whatever that was on his album. Ashes was his album or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so with they spread that like myth of him burning churches, so then his following, because remember how he talked about how fast his first album got sold out?
Yeah.
So therefore the following grew, and then when they heard all the rumors, because everyone talked like gossiping little old ladies over there, and they were like, oh, did you hear Varg?
Only 500. Like I know dudes that had more mixtapes than that.
Yeah, but think about how big that country is versus how big our country is.
Yeah, still
they small.
So like that whole country could have essentially every like county or region of that country could have had one of his albums. Do you know what I mean?
That's weird.
That's how small. It is in reality.
I feel kind of bad because we just left with the death. Then Varg talking about some bullshit and never addressed that. So we're going to address that now.
Okay.
On the 10th of August, 1993, Vikernes murdered Euronymous. On that night, Vikernes and Roosh traveled 518 kilometers, which I believe is like 600 miles or so.
It is a rough trek.
It's a long
trip. It's like going all the way north to all the way south U.S.
From Bergen to Euronymous's apartment in Oslo. Upon their arrival, a confrontation ensued, which ended when Vikernes fatally stabbed Euronymous. His body was found outside the apartment with 23 cut wounds, 2 to the head, 5 to the neck, 16 to the back. Now let's hear from Mr. Varg again.
You're just trying to get me angry today.
At this point, I was starting to become a problem in this scene.
You were also saying, like, Varg really has to die. And Varg was saying, well, I really need to kill this fucker. I was like, well, whatever. I mean, just handle it yourself.
He was planning to kidnap me. He was planning to knock me out with an electroshock pistol, like the type the security guards carry, and tie me up, take me into the forest, and make a snuff film while torturing me to death. And of course, I took it serious. Apart from that, he just
if you just were talking about it, like in the shop to everybody and anybody, I wouldn't have taken it serious. But he didn't. He just told, you know, a select group of friends. You know, and one of them, you know, told me. And later on, he wrote a letter to me, you know, as if we were friends, which of course confirmed my suspicion that he had some plans. You know, why did he suddenly want to be friend? You know, of course, to have an excuse to, you know, get close to me without working any suspicion. The only reason he had to contact me was a contract between Bursum and his label. So he sent me the contracts and wanted me to sign them. And he wanted to meet when we were signing him. Okay? I know, there's no reason to wait. Let's just go to Oslo and get done with it. So I drove to Oslo. But of course, it takes some time to get to Oslo. You know, it's 500 kilometers of bad roads and mountains, you know, so it took some time to reach. I think we were there at 3 o'clock or maybe 4 o'clock. So he was sleeping. I told him, well, I don't care if you're sleeping, just open the door. And he opened the door, which is rather strange, really. You know, he just opened the door. And even though he had plans to kill me, and when he had this beeper, you know, and when I got up in the apartment, he panicked. Because, you know, he probably, you know, he had plans to kill me. I was aggressive, you know, so he panicked. He attacked me, he kicked me in the chest, I just threw him to the ground. A bit stunned, really, because, you know, he attacked me, you know. I didn't expect it at the time. And I was stunned for a while. He was just sitting on the floor, and suddenly he got up, trying to get his knife in the kitchen. And I thought, well, if he's going to have a knife, I'm going to have a knife. So I had a pocket knife, this small pocket knife. I got it up and prevented him from getting into the kitchen. You know, so he didn't manage to get his knife. And then he started off started to run off towards his bedroom, where we kept the shotgun that Dad shot himself with, as well as electroshock pistol. It turned out later on that he didn't have any of these things in the bedroom, but I believed it at the time. And that is the reason I followed him. And instead of going into the bedroom, he just left the building, really. He just started to run down the stairs. And I followed him and managed to stop him. And of course, I had a friend with me, actually the guitarist of Mayhem. And of course, he was rather shocked. And I waited, because I didn't know how he was going to react. You know, he was the guitarist in Mayhem. So for all I knew, he could attack me as well. Maybe they planned it, you know. Get a bit paranoid in situations like that. So I just waited for what's going to happen. I just waited. Also was on the floor. He broke a lamp on the wall. So he was swimming in glass fragments with only his underwear. So he was rather bloody. And this other guy just ran past me. And of course, I understood that he did, okay, he's not a part of it. So I asked him, are you okay? And he just ran off. And then I remember that he had my car keys. And I had blood all over myself. And Orset got up and attacked me again. So I finished Orset off. I stabbed him in the skull, so he died immediately. And I followed the other guy. He ran to the car. So I managed to calm him down. You know, he gave me the car keys, I opened the car. You know, and we drove back, you know.
Like all the way back?
Yeah. 300 miles, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, 310 or so.
Do you have
it's
a rant?
It's like a 5 to 7 hour.
For this one, or can I continue?
I'll let you continue.
Right, are you sure?
I'll comment a little bit later. Okay. With some facts. The truth, if you will.
Vikernes was arrested within days, and a few months later, he was sentenced to 21 years in prison, the maximum sentence given in Norway. For both murder and church arsons, he was released He was released from prison in 2009. Blackthorne, who waited for Vikernes downstairs and took no part in Euronymous's murder, was charged with complicity in murder and sentenced to serve 8 years in prison. With only Attila and Hellhammer remaining, Mayhem ceased to exist.
Oh,
in a video interview with The Consequence of Sound on 15th October 2019, Necro Butcher discussed his bitterness towards Euronymous after being replaced in the band with Varg Vikernes before the recording of De Mysterious Dom Satanas. He then began speaking upon Euronymous' murder, stating that, "Okay, I can tell it right now, because I've been holding it in for many years, but actually I was on my way down to kill him myself. And when it happened, I saw the morning paper thinking, fuck, I gotta get home to my place and get out all the weapons and drugs and shit I had in my house, because they're coming to my house because I'll probably be the number one suspect for this. But little did I know that the Norwegian police already knew that Count Grishnak, Varg, was going down and also to kill him, because they bugged his phone and he actually talked about this killing before he went to Bergen, so the cops already knew that he was coming, so they probably were thinking to themselves, we didn't know this guy for the church burning, so let's nail him for murder and get rid of this fucking guy in Oslo the same time. So that's basically what happened."
Now, so the government let that dude get killed
now
too.
I don't know if I trust that. That sounds real. Oh, it's real convenient that you were on your way.
Conspiracy theorist. Like you were on your
way. Well, also, so you just happened to be on your way to kill him too? So you saw the newspaper, what, in a gas station on the way or something?
Just getting pack smokes, getting some gas.
Like, how did that happen? So that don't really sound like I don't believe most of
what he said. What's the word you guys were using earlier?
Pretentious.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
In May 1994, the mysterious Dom Satanas was released and dedicated to Euronymous. Its release had been delayed due to complaints filed by Euronymous's parents, who had objected to the presence of bass guitar parts played by Vikernes. According to Vikernes himself, Hailhammer assured Azareth's parents that he would re-record the bass tracks himself. Being unable to play bass guitar, Hellhammer left the bass tracks unchanged, and so the album features Vikernes as bassist.
That's what they say, which is probably true, but like, no one would really know.
So you have a band that one of their members killed himself during it, and then the other member killed one of the other members during all of the shit, too. Like, that's... I mean, at least it's all the fucked upness is in one
that's
band.
That's crazy, man. Like, yeah. Like, the singer kills himself, and then the bassist kills the guitarist, and they all frolic away happily. He got out. He wasn't in prison for a real long time.
Yeah, he's free
and
now.
In Norway, it's kind of like...
Oh, yeah, it's like...
It's nothing. It's not... You're not going to get raped by a broomstick or beat the fuck out of every day and your food stolen. Shit,
they have like miniature apartments.
Yeah. Because you just can't leave.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit of a rant. So he's all like, oh, the theorists, right? The government, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, according to the investigation documents, like, the whole country of Norway, first off, because of the whole black metal thing, was... all the churches being burned and stuff. Like, the entire country was in, like, shock and, like, terror because of this movement. Like, there wasn't, like...
It's fucking chaos.
Why is our church burning? Why are all these people doing these things? Why are people getting hurt? Because it wasn't just church burnings. Like, these followers, and like, not even of just the band, like the whole genre, like these little assholes are going around like hurting people and just doing things of hate for no fucking reason.
It's black metal.
Other than black metal says Satan. It's okay. Ooh, Satan does Satanist. Bad things. I'm going to go bash this person's head in. I'm going to go
the inner circle, you had to be Satanist to be in it.
Which is like, how do you prove that you're a Satanist? Like, how do you prove it? It's a religion. So like, ooh, you have to be a Satanist. So you just walk up and go, I'm a Satanist.
Yes.
So do you guys think that like nothing happened to the drummer just because like, yeah, man. And then he just,
well, he sat feel like
and then he fucked off and did his own thing and didn't.
Yeah, like he was just like, yeah.
Well, I feel like the band is a little divided and some of the people... We're in it for just the music. Some of the people were like just fucking crazy people.
I just like doing drugs, drinking, and hitting the bongos a little bit, like for real. But so that's my little tangent. Like the whole country, that entire time span was just not happy and like scared. So like for them to be like, oh, the government planned it. I'm just like, dude, the government just wanted y'all to stop being little cunts. I mean,
maybe Necro Butcher wanted to seem relevant. Because it was like an interview later, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was before the movie, right? He's a
shrimpy little
fucker.
Actually, all of them were shrimpy little motherfuckers.
Listen, in the movie? Like little
skinny-ass, girly-looking dudes fucking acting like they're hard-ass.
You think they wore girl jeans?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, they, like, listen, so this is...
You didn't talk about...
Hieronymus. Look at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he is much smaller than Culkin.
Right. Weren't you going to say something about Faust?
Yeah, so, okay. So... In my true crime stuff, one of my people did a story on a Norwegian man who committed a hate crime on a gay gentleman and, like, the severity of it. And it turns out that it's actually part of the inner circle that these people had. And his name is, like, Faust or whatever. So, like, in the Lords of Chaos movie, he is portrayed by the youngest Skarsgård brother. And so, like, I'm watching the movie... And I hear this thing being described, and then I see it happen, like they portray it or whatever. And I'm like, why does this sound familiar? And I look it up, and it's fucking a true crime story. So the guy Faust, he was like obsessed with serial killers. Like he read books. He followed them. He like was all about it. All the like who's what's when where why's like all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like I am. And
me too.
And yeah. So he went to a bar.
Weird as.
And he started getting hit on by a gay gentleman, and like him having his fucking beliefs that he has about like
that they were real close to white premises, white supremacists.
Yeah, they were like in the same vein, close. Like their same beliefs.
A lot of them were
like believing that they're the best. Mm-hmm. They're better than everything. They have this privilege.
That's where the fucking Aryans fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking but, Aryans, man.
So he gets hit on by this gay man, and him being obsessed with serial killers, and like y'all know most serial killers back in the day, like if it was a man killing a man, like a lot of the times, like a majority of them were had a little fagula in them. And so like this guy's like, okay, so he leads this gay man outside into a park on the pretense of doing something with him, of course. And the gay guy's just like, oh yay, cool, let's do this, because it's the 90s. And he fucking starts stabbing this dude. And, like, he stabs this dude so many fucking times. And then he starts, like, it's not called curb stomping, essentially. Mm-hmm. But, like, he just starts, like, kicking stomping and, like, stomping this man's head. And he stomped this man's head so much that he was unidentifiable.
Think American History X.
Like, his family, like, his poor mother or father, whoever had to try and identify him, like...
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't do it. They had to run his fingerprints and they had to run his DNA. Like they they couldn't do dental records. There was nothing. He stomped this man so much. And this Faust guy, because it was a random person in a random location,
didn't even get caught.
No witnesses, was not caught. And the only reason we know who it is because Varg killed Hieronymus and the police arrested their entire crew because like who else is going to do it? In his fucking apartment, like no signs of break-in, no signs of this. They found the contract. So, like, of course, they're going to arrest everyone in the circle. So they arrested him, and this fucking guy is like, oh, yeah, no, I had nothing to do with Hieronymus, like, blah, 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 like, fuck Verg, fuck that, whatever. He's like, oh, by the way, I killed this guy. Like, he 100% confessed to killing the gay man when he got arrested for questioning, like... Which blows my mind. So he had to have been guilty about it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, he had to have been guilty about it
for like all that time. Yeah.
Because like that's the thing is so like when they talked about it, so like his personality had changed after mm-hmm. that. So like he was more reserved because like beforehand he was like more like wild, mm-hmm. according to the documentary and stuff.
Yeah.
Like his mom and stuff like reported the personality change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had to have been eating up. So I'm like kind of happy that like even though he was obsessed with serial killers, like he felt that guilt. But yeah, no, he fucking did it. And he wasn't even in Mayhem. He was in a totally different band. But he thought because they had these believies and they pushed all these believies like, oh, it's okay to be like a cunt. Go ahead, fuck around, burn churches, kill people, hurt people. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, Satan, like.
I just want to be in one of those meetings in that little weird basement and be like, dude, you're not even in this band.
Oh, that would have been funny. You have no authority to speak, man. You're not in the best band.
If Euronymous and Varg hadn't come up with the idea to talk to the media about the church burnings, they wouldn't have got
in trouble for it. There was evidence, and they knew that it was arson.
But they couldn't prove who it was.
There were no fingerprints, no motive, DNA to prove.
And
plus, it's the 90s, the DNA wasn't that good, even if they had it.
Yeah.
Fingerprints, on the other hand, was still forever.
And so, I know some people listening to this may wonder what the music sounded like. So, I'm going to play a sample from Mayhem.
Much to my dismay.
From their big album. And I'm going to play a small sample of Burzum, which was Varg's band.
Which one are you going to play? Are you going to play his first one that got him famous? Or are you going to play one of his
later Varg?
Ones? Yeah.
I can play one of his, the one that got him famous. But this is called Freezing Moon. It's by Mayhem.
And that's why we're
that is
you
not.
That's a
cool Mayhem. Is this the Mayhem with Dead or is this the Mayhem with Varg?
It's with Varg.
This sounds okay, so like, this sounds like elevator
commercial.
Booty woo woo woo!
Gotta find the lyric.
This doesn't sound like old CKY videos. It sounds like Brandon DiCamillo just. Booty woo woo woo, jizzing his goo.
All right, and fucking now Varg.
It sounds like everything else. It just sounds like music.
It sounds like what? It sounds like music.
Like instrumental music. Like there's no.
No, no. Well, they do have a lot of ambiance in the back, and like I don't know. It's like they try to like make a mood. But
what if they had like just a random like horn?
What? A horn?
Yeah, like a horn.
Like a French horn or like
a
trombone?
It could be fucking any. Yeah, a French horn might do, but like, yeah. Or a trumpet.
Or like a recorder that just comes in. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Like more, I need more cowbell.
Kazoo. A kazoo. Ooh, just this, kazoo. But with a kazoo.
Yeah, that could do it. That fits the whole noise.
Just
that
look
they make
at that
for
and be like, here, all you have to do is put a kazoo in your music.
Ooh, tambourine. I love when people throw tambourine and shit because it makes me giggle.
More cowbell.
More cowbell.
More cowbell. Season salt, fever,
reaper. Okay, so this is from his 1992 album. I don't know what it's called because I didn't look.
The first one was called Ashes.
Actually,
that.
That's a drum machine, it sounds like.
I don't fucking like it. It's like giving me, like, creeps.
It's a little
like,
off.
His vocals are a little better.
I mean, it sounds like his...
Yeah!
It sounds like his voice hurts a little less than a
like I said earlier.
Yeah!
I could be a really good black metal singer.
Because there's no lyrics, right? Because
I can do it. No, there are lyrics. They're usually about singing. So that's Burzum. That's usually it's about Satan.
Like the guitar is nice, but again, it sounds like
it's not though. It's
else.
Really boring.
Like it's just like
Satan. Use... Why did you make my
so early...
taste funny today?
I mean, all right, black metal is pretty good, but early black metal was very simple. It just wasn't
developed.
I'm not a real big fan. Like,
it wasn't developed.
Like all right, so this is like black metal that I like is
yeah,
like.
I like... Why do you say it like
well, actually, it's not even black metal. It's not considered black metal, but like Dimmu Borgir and shit like that.
What would
really,
okay?
They're more
Kelly Clarkson.
So to classify, because like mind you, we're talking about Norway, so it's a foreign country. So like U.S. versus Europe, versions mm-hmm. of things are different even in the music industry. So like, Mark, what is an example of a current band that would be considered equivalent to like Black
Death? I don't fucking
the Island Boys.
I don't listen to shit like that
them
anymore.
Two little weirdos. Two little weirdo yeah. brothers that blow each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. They get mad when people talk about that too. I hope they get mad at me about it. I hope they call me fat like it ain't obvious.
But... So like you're saying there's like really I don't know.
I mean, there's still black metal out there. Like Mayhem is still active, and I don't know if they released an album lately, but they're still active. Like Dimmu Borgir, that's another Norwegian black metal band. They're still active. Like a lot of these bands are still active.
I think was their last. I think I remember like 2008, 2010. Like yeah, I think but it was one of the last.
There's still black metal bands out there. There's still new. There's new black metal bands.
Is
there's,
there?
I don't know if it's considered black metal anymore because you know,
or if they retitled.
Any change or wave will change. Like punk became hardcore punk, and then like become other general genres because it like every iteration changes.
Yeah, like every there's variation like in the way stuff. The music is yeah. or something. Yeah,
I want some light gray metal. Would that be like Nickelback?
I will write you a light gray metal song.
Because hate me or not, I enjoy Nickelback, all right?
It's going to be about Nickelback and Satan.
Listen, if I can sing your song and I like your beat and I like your words, I'm going to listen to your shit. Like, I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, honest, 100%. You could just be Joe Schmo that sits there like and plays music and sings. And mm-hmm. like, if I like what you're singing and I like the music that hits my ear and my brain yeah. goes, oh, that's pleasant. Like, I'm gonna like
you
your
just
stuff.
Never were into metal or anything.
No, I just I you, like Nick? I like the words. I like the meaning behind music too. Yeah,
I like the big popular.
That's
like,
the other thing is so like I'm really big into what does the music mean to like the person writing it
you know
and the
what?
Person listening to
I
it.
I have an equivalent of black metal
you got
kind
one?
Of.
Like a popular ish one that when someone know? Okay.
Okay,
I shouldn't. So I have a coworker. So listen, I have this one coworker. His name is Mark, and he is into like all this shit. And I actually mentioned Mayhem to him, and I was like, "Do you know the Norwegian band Mayhem?" And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "I don't like them." And I was like, "You know all about them and stuff, right?"
So they didn't get famous because of their music.
Oh no. It's all the lore.
So this band, they're from Switzerland. They're called Paleface Swiss.
Okay.
And this would be, I guess, comparable. That's
commercial.
Not it.
They sound very K-pop, Mark.
I love this band, by the way. They're fucking amazing.
The beginning here kind of makes me have to pee.
Apparently something's coming through. This is
I got it.
Like death metal there.
I figured out where I've heard these riffs before.
They're all the same, man.
Well, no, I get it. I know where I know.
I like
know
the
what
music.
The
like
is.
That music, I like a lot better.
Listen,
like that those beats, like the way that the guitar riffs are and stuff. I really enjoy that. That's fun.
This is what Slipknot should have become.
You can fucking hear. You can hear words. Yeah, like Slipknot's you can actually good. Hear
oh,
fucking words.
Okay,
but listen. Listen,
it's not just grunting like you're having sex.
You know the cheap sex toys that have the vibrators and then they have the patterns.
Yeah.
Some of those patterns are definitely those songs.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh. Like the yeah. high frequency ones. Yeah. 100%. The ones where you go too far and you're like shit. And the problem is there's so many settings that like once you get so far, you just have to fucking keep going until you reach the end.
No, I just hold it in, turn it off, and start all the way back.
So anyways, we have a Patreon.
We have a Patreon. We start talking about sex toys and you bring up the Patreon?
Yeah. Well,
hello, sex money.
If you join our Patreon this month exclusively, you get a sex toy for free.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh.
Though, we do have Mothman stickers coming.
That aren't
100%.
Free.
And then we have some merch that's going to start popping up here soon. I am currently working on it with my person.
Cool.
And once I have that merchy store merch. Set up, we'll be good to go.
I saw some sample stickers. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, the quality's pretty good, too. Yes. Yeah, it's exciting. But exciting. Make sure...
In our Patreon, and you're above the $2 tier, you're gonna get stickers.
We might get a little weird after this episode, and if you join the Patreon, the high tier, you might start getting some weird body parts.
Oh. I don't know anything about that. Bits and bobs.
Yeah, some odds. It's just shit we got laying around in the...
What do you do in your free time?
Listen, it's just shit we got
laying around in the backyard.
He's had a whole Easter break to plan this, okay?
Yeah.
Did you kill the Easter bunny?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Speaking of, I have a rabbit that I need to bring over so we can fry up. Oh.
Damn it.
What?
She got so excited.
Oh, you thought I had a real, like a live one?
I thought you had like a pet bunny.
No. I mean, you can pet it.
You can pet this one.
No, I'm not going to pet the thing. It won't bite you. You just
pet it with some salt and pepper.
Oh, I missed my last rabbit.
Did you eat that one?
Was it good?
No, she froze to death.
Oh,
you know what's funny? This rabbit is frozen right now.
Yeah, that's how it happens when you kill them and you want to eat them. I didn't kill
it. I was given it.
Likely
because
story,
of my
sir.
Interest in squirrels.
Squirrels?
But we never got a squirrel. We got a rabbit.
Because you wanted a squirrel?
I saw on Instagram, and I got really excited, and I shared it to a bunch of people, like a little girl. It was a squirrel, a taxidermied squirrel that was set up like an archer. And I was like, I would fight over that.
Wow.
Like,
I forgot. I went to the land of the squonk yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, I was over there because my fiance's dog, we had to get a consult for surgery because he has a torn ACL.
Oh, no.
We were in the land of the squonk. You know what? It was real fucking weird because like around there, it was like real fucking foggy at like 8 o'clock at night for like no reason. And I'm like, oh shit, the squonk is gonna get us.
You talk too much shit, Mark. But
listen, I had a 130-pound Rottweiler in the car. I think I don't have to worry about the squonk much.
Motherfucker, that thing was hurt. You need to defend him against the squonk.
He just limps a little bit. He's fine. He's still got a working mouth.
You took it. We took an adventure because of the poor dogs. But if that fucking squonk comes out of here, you better step the fuck up. Like,
get off the injury list, motherfucker. Let's go. We got eating to do.
Yeah, man.
He look at you like, man, get this motherfucker.
This motherfucker.
They're only like they're small. You saw like a squonk. Little fucking angry, sad badger. Pig, not angry.
But what if that thing like looked at you and then opened its mouth all fucking full of teeth or some shit, and then you and the dog just look at each other like, "Well, step up, motherfucker." And he just looked at you until you moved. Like,
well, then my fiance would probably murder it. Hopefully,
she would have been running already. The fuck's up? That you remember?
She wouldn't leave her dog. Nah, what are you talking about? She would have snatched up her pooch and ran.
She gets cagey and like starts fighting.
Yeah, that's fine. Or running.
Nah, she'll handle it head on.
Now all I imagine is it not fucking opening up with a mouthful of teeth.
Instantly
being scared and walking up and punching the fuck out of a squirrel.
Right in the nose like you do with the shark.
I really was interested to see if it felt like a ball sack or not.
You wanted to give it a little.
Yeah, kind of looks like a ball sack.
I actually have very early memories of Mark chasing pigeons, so I can only imagine he would chase the squonk with enough chutzpah.
Listen, I don't
know if
I've
back, told... He'd be like, look what I caught, Nick. He'd be pulling
I may have a story if I haven't told it. Have I told the story about me with the Cheetos and the seagulls chasing me?
That sounds fun.
In a parking lot. Oh, so I was in Texas at Schlitterbahn with my mother and extended family. And like what nephew and nieces and stuff, and they were eating like Cheetos,
mm-hmm.
and these seagulls in the parking lot because we're down in Galveston, Texas.
So yeah, by the beach, the Gulf. Yeah,
and they kept getting a lot of attention. They're like, because the seagulls are trying to like you know get into their Cheetos. So I'm like, let me see those. And we're in this real big parking lot, and I fucking put one. above my head. No. And all of them started chasing me. And I'm fucking running through the parking lot. I swear I've told this story. I'm running through the parking lot singing the song. It's the Flock of Seagulls song. Yeah. I ran so far, away. I was singing that while a big fucking flock of seagulls chasing me down. My mom, because there was a video of it, but I don't have a video anymore. My mom in the background was like, Marky, stop!
Does your mom really sound like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. All
right. I had to make sure. I didn't know if that was interpretation.
Only when she yells at him, other than that, she sounds like a nice little southern lady. It's perfectly fine. Like, but,
yeah, that was an experience.
She just starts yelling at him. I love it. I need to get a recording of your mom yelling at you. I feel like that's one of the.
She doesn't yell at me
anymore. I could get her to yell at you. I have I don't have a lot of confidence. I have 73% confidence that I can make her yell at you.
Okay. Well, anyways, this is Mark.
And this is Nick, the Instigator. Yeah.
Get you yelled at by your mom. That's not going to be your title.
So this is Mark.
And this is Nick.
And I'm Z.
And this is the Guns and Gory podcast. Oh, it must be a squonk.
Well, hello. This is Z, and you guys have been listening to the Guns and Gory podcast. Written and produced by Mark Hodge and Nick Parrish. Audio engineering by Mark Hodge. Recorded in Fat Boy Studios via Sir Nicky's Love Castle. Media manager is me, Z. We'd like to thank all of our friends and family for the amazing support and all of you awesome people listening in. Please join our Patreon for fun extras and behind the scenes with the guys. You can find us at patreon.com/gunsandgory. That is guns, A-N-D-G-O-R-Y. You can also find us on the Facebook, Instagram, and the YouTube. At Guns and Gory, thank you so much for listening. Please comment, like, share, subscribe, have a few carrier pigeons. We'll take them all.